Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
You're listening to the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show with Sal Capaccio, brought to you by Northtown Automotive. Whatever you're looking for, you'll find it at Northtown. Shop online at northtownauto.com. It's all Bills all day. Buffalo Bills Football Monday on the home of the Bills. WGR Sports Radio 550. Brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com.
It's a pitch play to Cook. Dives, reaches for the end zone, and he's got it! He is in for the touchdown! What an amazing effort by Cook, who is back in the kitchen. Mahomes on a keeper, has a blocker in front, down to the five, leaping for the end zone, and he's in. A 10-yard touchdown run by Patrick Mahomes, and the lead goes back to the Chiefs. Allen looking, fires, and it's complete to Curtis Samuel for the touchdown! Fourth and goal is good for Buffalo! This is a 35-yard attempt for Butker from dead center. Snap by Winchester, hold by Ariza, kick is up. And it is good. So with 3:33 left, the Chiefs are up by a field goal, 32-29. The Kansas City Chiefs are going to become the first back-to-back Super Bowl champion to go back to a third straight Super Bowl to try to win an unprecedented third Super Bowl title.
The sounds from Chris Brown on the Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Hi, everybody. Sal Capaccio here. It is a Buffalo Football Monday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. I mean, you can already hear it in my voice, right? It's a tough one. Always a tough one to do. We'll let you know early here. It is the Catholic Health Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Bills Football Monday. Presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. I am not wearing a Victory Monday shirt because it is Locker Cleanout Monday. I mean, the extremes of what today, this morning, could have been with a victory versus what it is weighed heavily on me all week. And here we are talking about the negative extreme, and the extreme that, quite frankly, hurts very badly here in Buffalo once again. Another Buffalo sports heartbreak added on to the many years of Buffalo sports heartbreaks and instances and moments of the past. This one wasn't without its defining moments, that's for sure. It also didn't come down to the last play of the game or 13 seconds. There were plays at the end that could have and should have been made. But this was one that from the beginning of the game, you felt like it just wasn't going your way. Until the Bills got the lead. They took the lead twice. The Bills had the lead in the AFC Championship with less than 11 minutes to play. They were less than 11 minutes away from playing for a Super Bowl championship. And then it got away. And that's been the repeated story in some way, shape, or form against the Kansas City Chiefs four times in 5 years. We've seen this team beat them in the regular season 4 years in a row, and now we've seen them lose in the playoffs 4 out of 5 years. All those things that the Chiefs fans and media say about, that's the regular season, it doesn't matter, are pretty much true, right? I mean, they can matter if you want to beat them to get here home field, and that's what you're trying for. But the Bills had that last year. Still lost that game and this game. And here they are again for the second time in 5 seasons, losing after being 60 minutes away from a Super Bowl. There are so many things we can get to today. We can go big picture, we can go small picture. I think that it's all on the table. I'm hurting like you, I'll be honest. I wanted this personally. I wanted this professionally. I wanted it for you, for this community, for the fans. I mean, who didn't, right? I mean, there's going to be so many different levels of fans and fandom to take this in. And some will, it won't matter as much emotionally. I think for the great majority of you, though, it's a very, very, very tough day. It certainly was for me. We got back last night on the team charter at 3 a.m. There were probably about, 40, 50 people at the airport. Would have been 400 or 500 at the team one, I'm sure, at 3 a.m. Cheering the team and proud of them and all that. And it's great. And no doubt, a lot of things to celebrate along the way this year and about having this team. But you just keep going back to, will it ever happen now? For really the better part of the last 3 years, I've kind of thought, yeah, it will. Like, it will. You can't keep playing that team every year and having them win and then playing against them and then beating you in the end of your season. But here we are again. And we can talk about yesterday's game specifically, right? The offense, not being able to move the ball early in the game, not being able to move the ball at the end of the game to get in position to win. We can talk about the defense, once again, not being able to put pressure on Patrick Mahomes enough and allowing too many big plays, not forcing stops. All of that is true. I think what happens in games like this, what happens at the end of the season, really what happens every week, but especially when you just try to make sense of it all, is you got to blame one or the other. You got to blame the offense. You got to blame the defense. I mean, I think that both sides share a lot of blame in this one for different times of the game. And at several times, you could say the offense just wasn't good enough. No doubt. Beginning of the game especially, end of the game, certainly. And at times, the defense wasn't good enough. They allowed the Kansas City Chiefs 21 points in the first half. The Kansas City Chiefs hadn't scored over 30 all year until yesterday. That's not good enough. 3 touchdowns in the first half allowed. You can blame coaching. I don't think there were any game management decisions that cost this team yesterday. You could definitely argue the, going for two, but I understand those, the reasoning behind those. But scheme, game plan, all of it, like that falls on Sean McDermott, Bobby Babich, Joe Brady. Special teams. There was a big punt return in this game that I haven't even heard much brought up. It was a big factor. That's hurt this team all year. Live on Facebook, by the way, if you want to join there, you can check me out. I am sitting inside the Buffalo Bills radio broadcast booth right now. And the reason is because I need to be down here at Highmark Stadium to head over to locker cleanout. Just sucks even saying that. Sucks thinking about it, sucks saying that. I got to head over to locker cleanout at 11:30. So you'll get me for the next hour and a half. And then Zach and Josh will take over to take you up to noon. We'll hear from players. Some will be available, some won't. Really depends on, like I said, when they have their exit interviews and things like that. We will take your calls. 803-0550 is the number. And before I do it, I want to say that we've had a really, really great Monday reaction show, extra point show all season long. Whether we agree, disagree, you have questions, whatever it is. And I hope that's the case today. And I want to remind you what the show is always about. You're gonna be hurting today. You might be upset. You might be mad. You can vent. You can cry. You can ask questions, whatever. I just ask that when you call, we keep it reasonable to the discussion. And, you know, I don't know. Just want to make sure I give you your time. I'll call. You get your time. And you can say what you need to say or vent or however you want to let it out. 803-0550. You're gonna need me today, and I'm going to need you. I think that's the way this goes, right? Where are we going to start? Let me see what we got here. Let's go. You know what? Clover is in Texas. She's been with us all year, and she always is. So we're going to start with you, Clover. Good morning.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for taking my call.
You got it.
Just want to first off thank you for all you do for us fans. I mean, I think your words right there in your monologue said it perfectly. You wanted it for professionally for you to go to the Super Bowl and for us. And we feel that when you're talking. Really disappointed. We just came so close. I just, like, some of the coaching, I thought I was, you know, of course, frustrated by the calls, but we could have done better. I was surprised that they kept sticking with the tush push. I just thought, like, you know, they didn't have another play that they could run. I was thinking, like, put Reggie Gilliam, you know, out in space, maybe blocking, you know, that could have been effective. It just, I was kind of surprised they stuck with, because you said Allen was like 2 for 5 or something on that.
Yeah.
So, but yeah, could have played better. Like to see James Cook on the final drive. And then, yeah, I guess we just start thinking about next year, look different. But I just wanted to say, we just really appreciate, especially being here today. I know it's very tough. You had a long day and night. Appreciate you taking our calls, and hopefully we'll be back next year.
You got it, Clover. Thanks for sticking with us all year. Thanks for calling. Don't be a stranger.
Thanks, Sal. Take care.
All right, you got it. Listen, the tush push play, the quarterback sneak, the first thing I wrote down. Normally, when I do arrow up, arrow down, you can find that, by the way, at WGR550.com. When I do arrow up, arrow down, I don't do it according to, like, the number one, the number two, the number three thing. There are things that just stick in my head that I have to run through, and I look at the stats. But I did kind of specifically put that as number one this morning as arrow down, because I just felt it was such a key moment and key point. Like, it was such a key part of the game. These failed tush pushes. And I agree 100% with Clover. Like, I actually, now on the radio broadcast, Chris Brown had suggested, we were in a break, and he said, man, I don't know if they can keep going to that. And I said, but it's their best play. It's been their best play all year. You just got to keep doing it. You got to get a yard and a half. You got to get a yard. You got to get a half yard. I agree with Clover looking back. Like, maybe there's something else you could have done. To me, it's how do you not get a half yard? How do you not get a yard? And we can debate the spots of it, and no doubt about it, was controversial on the last one. But man, you got to be able to get a yard. It's your best play. The reason why the Bills got, you know, at the end of the LA game, when they lost and they were down there in the end zone at the goal line, both Sean McDermott and Joe Brady said, it's our best play. We're successful with that almost all the time. And they're not wrong about that. And it has been. And that's why they did it. And I understand. It felt like, though, it was just, we got Josh. This is Josh's time. We have to put it in Josh's hands. And he's got to do it. We got to move it with him. We got to score with him. And I get the fact that it's been your best play, but maybe at some point they should have changed it up, because that was, to me, the most crucial part of the game on offense for the Bills, not converting short yardages. And it wasn't just one. It was multiple. Not just the tush push either. Others. Let's go to Steve in Virginia. Hi, Steve.
Hey, Sal, thanks for taking my call. Also, great, Clover, you know, thanks for everything that you've done throughout the year for the, you know, us fans, like everything on the sidelines, all your reports, you know, always appreciated.
Thank you.
No problem. Hey, I'm just wanting to talk about both the offense and defense. The offense, yeah, you know, I just, you know, was just frustrated just seeing the amount of passes that, you know, went, you know, that then go beyond the six. It just seems like everything was, you know, behind, like, you know, the first down mark. I would have liked to seen, you know, more plays past that. You know, it just seems like it eventually caught up with the Bills. I mean, they were barely making the fourth down conversions, and then when we really needed it, you know, the team wasn't able, you know, to convert. And then with defense, you know, this is four times in a row we played the Chiefs, and so far I think the defense has given up 38, 42, 27, and now 32 points. Now, I get it. Mm-hmm. There were injuries, but then again, there were injuries last year. At this point, so far into the season, yes, you know, I think every team should expect injuries, but I don't think it doesn't matter between Leslie Frazier, Babich, McDermott. The defense, I feel, still lets us down, you know, in the biggest moments, you know, and, you know, I'm just kind of frustrated with it, you know, but that's basically all, you know, I had to say. I mean, I appreciate what the team did. It was a transition year. A lot of people were thinking we were going to be third in the division. So, I mean, they made it, you know, this far to their seventh AFC championship game. You know, I just wish it could have been a little further.
You got it, buddy. Thanks for the call. Yeah, the throwing past the sticks, it did work, you know, with Mac Hollins a couple times. There were a few plays down the field. The Bills never really went to that. Middle of the field was open for them down the field a few times. They just couldn't get separation on the perimeter. Anything down the field could not take place on the sidelines. Let's go to Wes on a cell. Here you go, Wes. How are you? You're on the Extra Point Show.
Hey, Sal. How you doing?
Tough day.
Appreciate you, all that you've done throughout the season. I'm down here in Kentucky. Been a fan since 1989. So as a kid, so endured all of the hardships of the four in a row, and you know, to see what they've done and accomplished when everyone said they were, you know, just not going to be competitive. I mean, that they overachieved to what everyone thought, but you get into this spot and you just hope they can make it over the hump. And I guess my question is, you know, with the play calling, and we can all say that, and I know hindsight, I heard even Brady say that after the Ravens game. You know, we've been ground and pound with the two teams, but, you know, Cook had 16 touches, almost 8.5 yards a touch, and why he doesn't get the ball on that last drive. I was he even out there?
No.
I know I didn't think so at all. And, you know, Ty Johnson's had some big moments, but, you know, that toss there, just at that point in time, I'm deflated that, you know, hey this is not good. And then you got to give the Chiefs credit, although two controversial calls that we all can say, but you got to get over that hump. We can't use those as excuse, but they dialed it up there with the blitz there at the end. And if Allen could have, you know, we saw the motion there with Shakir, and I thought, you know, just maybe window dressing from a play before, but he could have, I feel like, could have made that first down. He was in space, but I know Allen couldn't get around to look at him. So just a tough play there. But the play calling, I don't know why. We had 3.5 minutes, 2 timeouts plus a 2-minute warning. How do you not do what you have said has been your bread and butter and run the ball with your lead back? And we had plenty of time, milk that clock, and do that. So I don't know why they went away from that there when it has been successful for them, especially in the other playoff games, although we wanted to see, I guess, more of them moving it with the Ravens. But Cook, man, that touchdown on the option there, he was just so good. Yeah, the tush push, and like, yeah. I said, why you know, when you were saying it's been successful, it's been good, but, you know, the Chiefs, again, I have to give them credit, man, nobody else has been able to stop that like they were able to, and give Cook the ball. He'd been great in open space, you know, but yep. Highly disappointed after, you know, being deflated. Enjoy your – I always love seeing on Twitter, follow you with the snap counts to look at everybody, but maybe we can figure out something else to get past this and not have to go through Kansas City and have it at Buffalo next time. But hands off to the team, and it's still a team and live and die by this team, but, man, it's tough. But appreciate.
Yeah, I got you, Wes. So, you know what? You just remind me. I didn't do snap counts today. So with everything going on, maybe I'll post those during the break or something. But I appreciate you. Good call on that, though, with the play calling. The thing about the Ty Johnson sweep on the first play The Bills did get a first down after that because Allen scrambled for 13 yards on the next play. So I didn't mind that. But he's right about not having James Cook on the field. And my guess is once they got down under 3 minutes, they wanted to make sure that they, you know, they didn't want, I guess they wanted to make sure they also had a threat to pass the ball and have pass protection, I should say. And Ty Johnson's a better pass protector. And as good as James Cook is out of the backfield, Ty Johnson might be a little bit better. I'm not defending. I'm saying that maybe that's the reasoning, right? Maybe that's the reasoning. We haven't heard from Joe Brady about why James Cook wasn't on the field, but I agree. I thought they should have got to James Cook earlier in the game. He had four carries in the first half for 23 yards. Four. I mean, at the end of the day, he still had over, what, 5-6 yards a carry, something like that? 13 for 86, I think it was. So, yeah, I agree with that part of it. Steven in Florida. Hi, Steven.
Hey, good morning, Sal. Well, here we go again. Day after, not the conversation we want to be having, but it is what it is. So here's what I wanted to say. You know, you mentioned this in your introduction to the show today. The blame is all the way around. It's not just the offense or the defense. It's both. And I look at this game, you know, right from the outset, the Bills go 3 and out, and then the Chiefs just ran at will. They didn't even have a third down, and they scored. And right there I knew we were in trouble once we let the Chiefs get ahead. And I did have confidence in the Bills, you know, ability to come back. But, you know, the thing is, for me, one of the main things was that the Chiefs did what the Bills did, and as far as the defense putting pressure on the opposing quarterback. And Josh looked good in this game, but he didn't look great to me overall. And they rattled his cage. They got him off his game. You look at the very last play of the Bills on offense when he just lobbed that ball when he was being blitzed. And, you know, Kincaid didn't catch it. But, I mean, Josh was just off his game today overall because the defense, and I knew the one that was going to have the most pressure on him in this game was going to be Josh Allen because of the high expectation. There was talk about MVP and all that. But here's the thing. The offensive line, overall, I think they've been great this year, one of the tops in the league. But they failed to do what they were supposed to do, which was to protect Josh and to make this game happen for him and the offense. And then the defense, they couldn't even touch Mahomes. And, you know, I heard Chris Brown, there's more, you know, green grass in front of Mahomes. And what did he do? He gets two rushing touchdowns. Josh got none. And it was the, you know, the reverse during the season. And then the first time in their season, the Chiefs score 30-plus points. The Bills did not. When it counted, the Bills just didn't come through. I love this team. I've been an adamant fan since the 60s. But the bottom line is, when it comes to clutch time and when it matters, the Bills just do not have what it takes to win the big one against the KC Chiefs. And I got to say, this is a hard pill to swallow. Therefore, they don't deserve to be in the Super Bowl. And until they get over that hump, they're not going to. They got to do something. And I don't know what they can do, but until they can overcome Mahomes and Reed and Spags.
All right, Steve, I got to run, buddy. I got more calls on, all right? I know you're passionate. Steve likes to go a while. That's all. I'm not trying to be mean to him. I could give Steve his own show. He would open up the mic, and he would just keep going on that. So, Steve, you're right about a lot of things you said, and you're right. You don't deserve it if you don't win it, right? I mean, that's what you have to do. You have to win the game to deserve to get there. And I also wanted to move on because I can only squeeze one more call in the break, and Walter's been holding. So, Walter in Toronto, go ahead. You're up.
Hey, Sal. It's a tough day, but, you know, the Bills will be giving us some great excitement over the years. Sure beats the drought. I think... people are questioning Bean a little bit, and you know, it's tough. The draft is tough. Like, some guys you can hit and some guys don't, and it's tough. Drafts are tough. But what really irks me is, you know the way I like to use hockey references, right? And they say never trade within your division, right? So why would Bean allow KC to move up to get Worthy? Not that we wanted Worthy. I mean, we had our hearts set on Coleman. Right. I understand that. But why would you give your archenemy the opportunity to move up? I mean, it's just, it doesn't, I mean, 7-8 years ago, sure, we did that to give, and he picked up Mahomes. But first of all, they weren't an archenemy 8 years ago, and we didn't know what Mahomes was going to be like.
But they could have offered us the state of Missouri, for heaven's sakes. We're not giving you the opportunity to pick who you want. And even the commentators last night, you know, they mentioned that,
Of course they do. Well, here, let me stop you for a second, Walter, because of course you have, I think you share the opinion of a lot of people. And I think Jeremy talked about this morning. I will still hold true that I don't care who you're trading with. You do what's best for your organization. The Chiefs, the Bills thinking was that we don't value anybody here. So we'll make a deal to make ourselves better. And they made a trade. And I know you say, well, then don't do it with Kansas City. Well, maybe they didn't have another partner. So what do they do? Do they take a player that they just don't value? Wait, hold on. Do they? So what's the alternative? Just take a player you don't value there? Do you take a player that, because if they do, then if they take somebody, let's say they take Keon Coleman. Let's say they take somebody else. Well, then the Chiefs get Xavier Worthy anyway.
Well, what are the Bills benefit by doing that? I don't know all the details.
They get more draft picks and they get a better value. The draft is about value. And I'm not, again, I want this to come off as me explaining, not defending. Okay. A lot of times people say you defend. I just try to explain. All right. And I want you to understand the draft is about value. And if you're sitting there at pick, where were they at that time? 27, whatever it was. They're thinking 23, whatever. Hey, we don't have anybody really valued here. We'd rather move down, get proper value, and get extra draft picks. And I think the extra pick turned out to be Dwayne Carter, by the way. But either way, that doesn't matter. Could be anybody. But that's what they benefit for to answer your question. Because they feel, in that moment, by taking a player there that they don't value, then that's not the way to operate.
Yeah, no, and that all makes perfect sense. It was just hard watching that guy. What he got a touchdown on us. It was painful. But listen, Sal, love your show. Love you guys are like therapy on a day like today.
No,
and,
I try.
You know, I'll be there next year. The Bills eventually going to break through. All the best.
Everybody here listening will be. You know, thank you very much, Walter. Yeah, it's people could say I'm done. I can't take the emotion. Yeah, you'll be back. I'll be back. I'll be back after this timeout because we got to take a break here. Good calls to start the show. Yeah, I mean, I'm here if you want to tell me you're completely off your rocker and you should never, ever, ever, ever trade with the Kansas City Chiefs. I understand. I get it. And today was a day that, I mean, yesterday was a day that it showed up where that guy made some plays. By the way, one that might have not, maybe not, should not have been a touchdown, a catch. Either way, I think to me, the Xavier Worthy conversation it's actually less about you trading with the Chiefs. I don't care about that. Trade with whoever you want to do it the right way in the draft for your team. Maybe they should have valued Xavier Worthy more. To me, that's the conversation about Worthy. Like, maybe they should have valued him more than they did. They just, we don't want a one-trick pony with speed. Well, look, you needed a speed guy, right? I mean, that was a talk all offseason. I don't care as much about who they traded with and yeah, so the Chiefs got him. I get it. It matters now, and it mattered then to a lot of people. Maybe the proper way to go about it for me is, I'm thinking, well, maybe you should have valued Worthy after we see now that this team had a lot of trouble separating, which we kind of knew coming into the year that they would be like that, especially on the perimeter. So that to me is more of the discussion about Worthy and Coleman. And I like Coleman. I think he's going to be a good player, and I've defended, hey, I think he makes... He's going to be a good player, and he's made good plays this year. He was a non-factor in the playoffs. He was a non-factor yesterday. Non-factor against the Ravens. And I know everybody eats, and you don't have to have one guy have these big monster games. But I'd like to see more from what is actually a second-round pick in Keon Coleman, not a first. My first-round pick in Dalton Kincaid. And the guy I traded for at the trade deadline, Amari Cooper, like all these, they didn't matter in the playoffs that much. Amari had a catch or two that, you know, helped out yesterday, but you didn't get enough from those players. That's kind of been the way they've operated this year, and it's worked for them, and it didn't yesterday. We'll take a timeout. We'll come back here on a Buffalo Football Monday, Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you live from Highmark Stadium here at One Bills Drive.
Looking left, pressure coming, fires a deep shot over the shoulder, and did he pull it in for a touchdown? Holy cow, Mac Collins did! It's a 34-yard touchdown strike from Allen to Holland.
Chris Brown on the call on the Buffalo Bills radio network. Mac Hollins was one of the Bills' best players on offense, definitely. Him and James Cook, really. Mac was the leading receiver for the Bills yesterday. 3 catches, 73 yards, including that spectacular 34-yard touchdown catch. He averaged 24 yards a catch. Mac Hollins, one of 12 pending unrestricted free agents for the Bills. I'll run through them for you. You can see them. I tweeted them out on X at Sal Sports. You want to take a look at that? Here are the Bills' pending unrestricted free agents. Mac Hollins is one of them. So is wide receiver Amari Cooper. Running back Ty Johnson. Fullback Reggie Gilliam. Offensive lineman Tommy Doyle, who hasn't played in 2 years, but his contract is up. Four defensive linemen, Quinton Jefferson, Jordan Phillips, Austin Johnson, and DeJuan Smoot. Cornerback Rasul Douglas, safety DeMar Hamlin, long snapper Reed Ferguson. I think Ty Johnson, to me, would be the number one priority in that whole list. I don't see that list and go, oh my God, you got to get this guy back or that guy back. The Bills actually are in a pretty good position roster-wise with the group they have. Now, there will be changes. And, I mean, at this point, I would think they would move on from Von Miller, but I'm not positive. They're not going to save a ton of money moving on from Von, but it would be something. I think like $8 million, I think it is, if they do it this year. $17 million if it's a post-June 1 cut, but you don't get that $17 million until June 1st, so it wouldn't kind of make sense. So I think you'd get the $8 million, you'd have some dead cap money there. Reed Ferguson as a long snapper, I mean, obviously you'd like him back. He does a good job, but you know that shouldn't be something that's too difficult to do. I think DeJuan Smoot helps, probably maybe one of the guys I'd look at, and of course Mac Hollins. I think Mac Hollins was good to have on this team, but they need to upgrade still more at wide receiver. They need more at that position than what they had this year, and that was a talk in the offseason about it. A lot of it, obviously, wide receiver train, but you know, as you move forward, I think there's a lot of areas you could address. It is proven now. I know in this game it wasn't the cleanest or the best, but it is proven Josh Allen can win without the greatest receiving core. He might be the league MVP, folks. And I think that at this point, looking at what the defense wasn't able to do again in the playoffs and looking at how they looked at certain points trying to stop teams, defensive line is still going to be a priority, as it has been quite often through this regime. But you know what else is going to be? Secondary. I'm good with the linebackers. I think Matt Milano started to be Matt Milano again. Now there are some age and injury concerns, no doubt. But hopefully you think, okay, he gets a full offseason now and the bicep thing happened, but he was starting to play like Matt Milano. You still have Dorian Williams there. You have Terrell Bernard, right? So even if you move on from Matt Milano, you still have Dorian Williams. Either way, I don't think they will move on from Matt considering the contract and the fact that he's still, I mean, yes, he's over 30 now, but he is, I think, just 30, 31. Either way, my point is secondary, corners. Corners have to be re-looked at here. Christian Benford's very good. He just had 2 concussions in 2 weeks. Rasul Douglas was not the same player, and he's getting older. And Cole Bishop is going to be a nice safety. Who's playing next to him next year? Taylor Rapp, I would think, and Cole Bishop, but you got to have more there as well. I think corner is a need for this team. Let's go to Nick in Buffalo on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Hi, Nick.
Hey, appreciate you having me on. So just for context, I was born in 94, so I went through a lot of tough years. And it's cool to have all the success of Allen, and I truly believe with Allen we always have a chance. But the past couple of years, I always try to compare players to legacies of other players. And I thought of Josh as Peyton Manning, and I always wanted him to be a little bit better at the line and communicating. I think he did a great job of that this year, and that's why we were 10-0 at home when he was able to really thoroughly communicate to the team on like what he needed pre-snap. But Peyton Manning didn't win a Super Bowl until he was 30, and he had to get past Tom Brady. And Josh Allen's 28. I think Peyton Manning was year 9. Josh Allen's year 7. So it's kind of interesting. Peyton Manning had a lot more talent, I think, than Brady, but Brady always seemed to get it done. And that's kind of my optimism right now, if I could have any, is that hopefully Allen can have a career like Peyton and finally break through one day, and this city will always celebrate him. But that's what I'm holding on to. So thanks for my call.
So, yeah, Nick, you were born in 94, so you might have been too young when John Elway won his Super Bowls, I would guess, right? Do you remember those?
No, correct.
John Elway.
2002.
Yeah, so John Elway came into the league in 1983 with Jim Kelly and Dan Marino. This was a great, great quarterback class of 1983 you probably heard about and seen. Yeah. And none of them could win Super Bowls. And Elway went to three and lost right around the same age that Josh is now, basically. He went to three out of four and lost. And, of course, right after that, Jim Kelly goes to four and loses. Marino goes to one. His second year in the league, he loses. Then he couldn't win. And then Elway wins it like in his mid-30s, finally. He wins back-to-back Super Bowls. In his mid to late 30s, actually. I think he was even closer to 40. But either way, finally did it. And you just never know when that's going to happen. So your optimism, I think, Nick, is great. It shouldn't be based on, to me, and that's fine. You can base it on whatever. I guess, to me, your optimism should be just the fact you have Josh Allen. I mean, I don't know. Analytically, traditionally, comparisons, all these things, guys getting over humps. We can make those comparisons all day. Right? I mean, none of it truly matters. There's not some magical, mythical formula that, you know, we saw this whole thing and Eric was pointing out how he loved the comparison of Michael Jordan in his seventh year, finally got over the Pistons. They were going for a three-peat. Like, that doesn't matter anymore. It's out the window. But you do have Josh Allen, and that's where this optimism should always lie with the Buffalo Bills until he's no longer in a Bills uniform. Or I guess, you know, not able to throw the ball much because he's super old. I don't know. Ann in Virginia. Hi, Ann.
Hey, Sal. Thanks for letting us decompress here. I wanted to ask your opinion about our very first snap when Josh ran the ball and and he didn't get far. And I watched that and I went, oh, no. Because it just seemed like a really odd choice for our first play. And it felt, you know, when you saw it, when we then went three and out and you saw that deer in the headlights look Josh was doing, does that relate to the greater play calling of the whole game?
Yeah, it's a great question. I've thought about this play a lot, actually, today. I'm glad you brought it up because I thought it was an interesting call. And here's my guess. I think what they wanted to do was come out in the game. And I think that Joe Brady and, you know, and the team said, Josh Allen's our guy. He's the MVP. It's his time. It's his game. We're going to show them right away that he's going to control this game. And I think that was more of a statement type of run, if that makes sense. You know what I mean? And
yes,
it went for 4 yards. It went for 4 yards. I'm fine with a 4 yard gain, but I also agree with you that it was kind of an odd choice. I'm fine. Now it's second and six. The problem was the next two plays, though. Josh hits two Kansas City Chiefs defenders with the ball on the next two plays, and now they go three and out. It's second and six. I can deal with that. Now run the ball with James Cook. You might get to a third and three, much more manageable than third and six, obviously. I think that first play, and I thought a lot about this, I think that was the mentality of, I bet you all week they said, we're going to run Josh in the first play and show the Chiefs that he's going to win this game.
Gotcha. It seemed like it shook him. That he didn't get a first down by himself or something. I don't know.
I don't know if it shook him that way. I don't think he expects to run 10 yards on the first play of the game. But okay. I do think the Chiefs bottled him up pretty good all game. And I do think it was tougher for him to run. And that was obviously seen on the tush push as well. But that's my take on it, and I appreciate the call.
There we go. Thanks, Sal.
You got it. Let's go to Russ in Eden. Hi, Russ. You're on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
How you doing, Sal? So I just wanted
good,
to
thanks.
Based on the tush push, and I watched Philadelphia all game, and Josh, you know, and we kind of adopted, I believe, the New England where Brady falls off to the left side. But at the same time, we don't have that mask as we look at Philadelphia. They have the quarterback, two running backs, or two people behind them, and the center all pushing as one. On ours, we just have Josh hit the line, and then the guys come up and start pushing them. So now we're dependent on our linemen to go one-on-one with their linemen. And I think that type of tush push is a disadvantage when we're going to do it five times. I mean,
It's worked all year. I mean, other than the L.A. game and then until yesterday, it's worked all year the way they've done it. I think that maybe they should have changed something up in this game, to your point. I don't disagree with that. And what the Chiefs did was, according to Connor McGovern, I asked him about it, Russ. I said, well, what did they do? He said, well, first, they were very big. They got big guys in there, and they all squeezed. He said, then they were diving at legs and wrapping up legs and making sure nobody could move, basically. And, hey, I guess that's a good strategy. I'm not going to second-guess how they've done it all year, the formation, because it's worked. But certainly in this game, they probably should have done something different.
Well, Yeah, I'm not actually second-guessing the total. It has worked. I'm just saying I wouldn't have minded them if they did the push, but use it as going up through center and having that match. Change it up, but still basically do a push. And you know, if you watch it a couple times, you're exactly right. McGovern was right. You could see the guys coming around the backside and grabbing behind Josh's legs. There was no question.
Yep.
A couple times you could see it. But
thanks, Russ. Sorry, you're breaking up a little bit, buddy, so I'm losing you, but I get your point. And yeah, for sure. Maybe I would have liked to seen in that situation, even like run, you can get under center and hand it off. They've been killing you with that. Maybe go off tackle with a run. If they're going to plow in there and squeeze in, bring Reggie Gilliam in as a fullback. He's done a great job blocking all year, and go forward for, you know, a yard. A huge, huge critical part of the game was short yardage yesterday, including the tush-push plays. All right, we'll take another timeout. We'll come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. Sal Capaccio with you on a Buffalo Football Monday on WGR. All right, let's get to Michael in Atlanta before the top of the hour. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. Always great talking to you. Just like all the folks that call in, you know, really appreciate your sincere integrity, man, and your passion. Okay, so look, let me give a couple points off my chest real quick, and then I'll sum it up with some perspective. Okay, so in the game yesterday, I thought it was a failure when, you know, not to utilize Cook more often in the game. Key points of the fourth quarter, he's not even on the field. When he's running and running great, I mean, everybody eats, but that guy was having like an all-you-can-eat buffet. And not to keep him on the field, all, you know, more often in the second half, especially that last drive. The other thing is, you know, how about some play action, right? When the Bills were running successfully, none of that. And the officials, man, it's like every call, every bad spot for the Bills, every preferable spot for the Chiefs, you know, the ball hits the turf, it's a catch, right? You know, the first down, you know, they got ripped off on that. But, you know, you can't stomach all that stuff continually, man, without just being completely upset to your stomach. And anyhow, but perspective on the whole thing. Championship games, playoffs are for winners. The Bills are a winner. Yeah, we won a Super Bowl, definitely. How would you like to be a Jets fan? You know, where's your future? And so many other teams around the league looking for players just to have a winning season. You know, great to have a winning season. Oh, my gosh, if we could win our division, how wonderful. I mean, the Bills are going to be there. We got a 28-year-old quarterback with a great future, and hopefully we're going to get a compliment superstar on defense to get the defense to the next level. So I'd like to hear your input on anything I had to say. But, yeah, go Bills, man, and I'm looking forward to the next year and beyond.
Yeah, listen, Mike, I mean, I hear you, and you're right. You're not wrong about, where this team is versus where a lot of other teams are, right? A lot of other teams were doing locker cleanout weeks ago, and here we are every year doing it now 2 to 3 weeks into the playoffs. And that's a much better spot to be in. But I don't think I think it might even hurt even more when you're there. Excuse me. When the Bills were in their 17-year playoff drought, I remember being in this stadium towards the end of the year, and we were talking about the draft. It's like, yeah, we're just playing out the string. You're watching for evaluation. I mean, it sucked, but it didn't hurt as much, right? It hurt in some level, but not like this. That's what gets you hurting. But I hear you, man. You're right. That is a... The future is still bright. You still have Josh Allen. They don't have, like, really some massive free agents, a bunch of them that with big names. They're not going to go through the same transition as last year. There will be a little bit of that. I'm not here for the refs and the officials. I know that there were some controversial calls yesterday. That's not me, unless it was something. I mean, you could say it was blatant. I think it were just calls that didn't go their way that may have. You have argument that they should have, no doubt. They didn't play well enough yesterday. It wasn't like they played well enough and a call was terrible that swung the game. Okay, we'll take a timeout. We'll come back. You got about a half hour left with me. Stay on hold if you're there. Give a call if you have it. 803-0550. Sal Capaccio here on a Buffalo Football Monday. I'll be heading to the locker room for locker cleanout at 11:30. Zach and Josh will be taking over from there, but we still have plenty of time for your phone calls here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Points Show on a Buffalo Football Monday.
That's smart on their part, right? So when you lose a corner, usually that's what people do. And again, like I said, I thought that they were doing a good job of getting the ball in the perimeter, testing our corners, and we couldn't get enough pressure on the quarterback where those two work together, right? Whether we blitzed or or went to a four-man rush. And then he scrambled and extended some plays there, too. We need to do a better job there. So that's really what it came down to.
Bills head coach Sean McDermott. I don't know if we'll hear from Sean McDermott today. Brandon Bean. We usually get an end-of-year press conference from both of them pretty soon after the season. My guess is that will happen tomorrow. I mean, it could happen later today. We haven't heard any word on that, but we will get players today in some capacity over in the locker room for locker cleanout. Always a tough day. Whether you don't make the playoffs, you lose in the wild card, divisional, or the championship, locker cleanout's always a tough day when your last game ends with a loss to end your season when a win could have advanced it. Sal Capaccio with you on the Nortown Automotive Extra Point Show on a Buffalo Football Monday here on WGR, presented by Catholic Health, the right way to care, and brought to you by Northwest Bank. For what's next, get started at northwest.com. You heard Sean McDermott right there talk about Christian Benford. The Barnes Firm Injury Report, brought to you by the Barnes Firm. Injured? For help, call 1-800-8-MILLION. Starts with Christian Benford and really ends there because he was the only one that really we had any injury updates on yesterday. And obviously dealing with the concussion all week through protocol, and then he gets hit and is concussed yesterday, and it was a bad scene. It was just tough to watch him being held up by trainers, the athletic training staff, being loaded into the cart, taken off the field. And then, you know, you feel so bad for Christian, who the first 2 years of his career, he did deal with a couple injuries. This year he's been healthy. And then obviously that happened the last 2 weeks. And the first one was on an onside kick. And then this one was friendly fire from Damar Hamlin. Very tough to see that. Kyrie Elam goes into the game, and the Chiefs definitely, you know, went after him. He didn't have any answers. Kyrie Elam is going into the final year of his rookie deal next year. I just can't see the Bills having Kyrie Elam for one more year and then him walking in free agency. Unless you just can't get anything for him at all, which might be the case, I would think this would be the year you'd might want to at least give him a fresh start and get some sort of draft pick for him in the offseason. That might be what you're looking at. And they could just go into the last year of his deal with him as a rookie contract. And then, you know, you're not going to extend him, I wouldn't think, after what you've seen from him for 3 years. But the Bills have 12 unrestricted free agents. I posted them at Sal Sports on X if you'd like to look at that. 803-0550 is the number to call. Let's go to Tom in Tonawanda. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Sal. I am just an AFL fan. Not an AFC, but AFL. My dad took me down to the first championship game before the first Super Bowl. So I'm going to be rooting for Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I die and I bleed red and blue, but I'm an AFL guy. But the question I want to ask you, I thought Matt Smiley, the special teams coach, has been on borrowed time for the last 2 years. Do you think it's possible that they may look at Pete Lembo from UB, who's got a special teams background? I'm just going to hang up and listen.
Well, hold on. No, hold on. I don't think I've ever heard of a college head coach just elevating to be a special teams coordinator of the NFL. I don't think that would be an option, no. Pete Lembo is very good at specialties. He's also a very good head coach at UB. He's got a really good gig there.
Win-win situation. I mean, he's got...
No, but not for Pete Lembo. Pete Lembo, I can't speak for him. I highly, 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 highly doubt Pete Lembo would be interested in doing something like that.
Yeah. Well, I guess I just wondered because he does have a special teams...
Let's take the other part of your question, though. I agree with you that the Bills could make a change on special teams. I just want to... Just get Pete Lembo's name out of there. Like he's got a good gig at UB, took him to a bowl game, did a nice job. He's a head coach at a Division I school in football. He's not taking a special teams coordinator's job in the NFL. But if you want to talk about moving on from Matthew Smiley, I definitely think that could be something the Bills look at. They're not moving on from Bobby Babich or Joe Brady. And last year, not to my knowledge, I don't think they will. And last year, Sean McDermott had a new defensive coordinator and then a sort of new offensive coordinator. And as Chris Brown has said many times, I'll give him credit for saying this point, that he felt that Sean probably didn't want to really change all three coordinators in 1 year if he was even going to do that or thought about it. This would be different. It would be one coordinator, and they have had issues on special teams. I wouldn't be surprised if that happens. And by the way, Tom, I will not be rooting for Patrick Mahomes in the Super Bowl. I'll be rooting for Nick Sirianni as much as he's polarizing. He's a Western New Yorker. Went to Southwestern High School. He's from Jamestown. I know the family a little bit. Got to know Nick a couple of times over the years. More friends with his brother Jay, but I know that's a really good family, good football family. And obviously, I'd root against Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs anyway. So that just ups the ante for me. Let's go to Mike in Pennsylvania. Hi, Mike.
Hey, Sal. How are you?
Good, thanks.
Tough Monday. I said it at the beginning of the season. I thought we were, you know, up against the wall with our safeties at the beginning of the season, and look how it played out at the end of the season. But, boy, oh, boy, time and time again, when do we start, you know, looking at Sean McDermott? Because I don't feel confident going into these games that we're going to out-coach the opposition. And when we go against somebody like Andy Reid, we are constantly out-coached. I mean, I'm not advocating to fire Sean McDermott, but we've got to change something here because we are just wasting Josh Allen's prime years away. And in no world should Josh Allen have no Super Bowl appearances heading into year eight. So,
Well, let me ask you, Mike, who's out there? Who would you want to bring in as a head coach? Because you sound like you are advocating for firing him, which is fine if you want to do that, but tell me what you're looking for, because especially this late in the process, when you get to a championship game, if you fire your coach, who's available?
Well, here's the one thing, and I got asked that question earlier today by a friend. I would not make my decision impacted by that question that you just asked me. If I'm going to let him go, I'm going to let him go, and then I'll figure it out. I'm not going to say, keep him because I don't.
Well, then you just want anyone different then, and I think that you have to have a better plan. That's the difference. Like, you just want to just get rid of him and have anybody different. I would say I think you need a better plan because you're talking about the second winningest coach in the NFL over the last 7 years who consistently does get to the playoffs. And yes, I get it. They can't get over this team. Neither have the Ravens. The Bengals did 1 year, I guess, right? But all of these teams who can't win a Super Bowl in the AFC, other than the Chiefs, are they firing their coaches too because of this?
Well, I mean, it depends. I mean, if we want to sit here and be mediocre, mediocrity in the playoffs and not, you know, go toe-to-toe, then be, you know, we used to say purgatory, quarterback purgatory, be head coach purgatory at the same thing. I just feel you should have a contingency plan going into the offseason if he fails in the playoffs. And if the Bills don't...
Okay, well, then you just answered your... But then you're contradicting yourself, is my point, Mike. What's your contingency plan? Who's there? You said you don't care. You said you figured out later. That's not a contingency plan.
Well, I mean, I would still have somebody that I would be interviewing or on a radar, you know, like a plan B. But, like, I mean, I would dip into the college ranks. I can't sit here anymore and watch probably the best football player I've ever watched in any uniform, let alone a Bills uniform, sit here and get ran by a defensive coach and then put us in situations where we fail time and time again. So let me ask you this, Sal. Yesterday, we lived this year off the tush push. I mean, that was our bread and butter. You saw it wasn't working against them, and I knew it when you lined up. So at what point does McDermott not say, hey, man, let's not do this. I would rather run a play out of shotgun or whatever instead of doing that. You've got to... There has to be some accountability from Sean McDermott to override a situation like that and put us in a better chance to win. It's just sad time and time again. Like I said, there's a lot of good things Sean McDermott's done, but when it matters, there is definitely stuff to be left to be desired on his coaching decisions in pressure moments. And I mean, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I don't think there was any. I do think that the defense has failed, and he's a defensive coach. I do not think yesterday there was any game management decision he failed at, though, specifically. You could point to a couple things here or there that are debatable. Maybe a two-point conversion, but they went for it from the one. I don't know. I mean, listen, we went over this earlier, Mike, that I agree with you. The tush-push, probably you should have changed it up. But they said earlier this year against the Rams, and they were right, it's the best play we have in that situation. You got to get it. You got to be able to block it and push them forward. But I don't think there was anything specific I'm pointing to about game management decisions from yesterday.
Well, so the Chiefs went in there thinking, hey, this is their bread and butter. We're going to stop this play. And they game planned for it.
They did.
Why can't we do something like that?
I agree. Hey, I agree with that. Look what Mahomes did on those fourth downs. He does a little reverse out, roll out, gets easy yards. I think they just stuck. They were just too stubborn, I guess. Mike, I guess that's the answer to your question. You know what I mean?
Listen, I'm not giving up on the Bills, and especially in the Josh Allen era. I just want a little better in tough situations like the 90s Bills. Those guys stepped on the field. They always thought they were going to win, especially against AFC opponents.
You know what's funny about that, Mike, though, is, you know what, I've left you on a long time, and I apologize to the other callers, but it's a good conversation. You know what's funny about that, Mike, though? I mean, I don't know. Are you old enough to remember the Super Bowls in the 90s?
Oh, yeah. I'm friends with Andre Thurman and Jim.
Okay. So, you remember then. That's great. So you remember then. What was the talk after those games? Marv Levy can't win the big game. How much did we hear that?
All the time, yeah.
Right. So, I mean, but here you are saying, yeah, but like those 90s teams. What did Marv always say? That he learned as he went on coaching, everybody's going to say that when you lose a playoff game. There's a lot of big ones to get to the championship. There's a lot of big ones to get to the Super Bowl. I just say, like, that we used to hear the same thing about Marv Levy.
Yeah, we did. And he never did win the Super Bowl. I mean, that's the biggest game that...
Yep.
I mean, AFC, we kind of ran through. Well, the best competition we have right now is in the AFC. It is the Chiefs. That is the, and I wouldn't be surprised if they go on to three-peat because they're the new Patriots. And we just can't get over it.
Mike, I got to run, buddy. Thank you for the call. Good conversation. I appreciate it. If you want to open the door to moving on from this head coach because of the past playoff failures, I just don't think that you're – what are you doing here in the – 2 weeks leading up to the Super Bowl, five teams have already hired coaches and filled out their coordinators. And I mean, what is the plan there then? It doesn't work for me to say, just go figure it out. I mean, I think you take a step back, but I understand why people say that at this point. Let's go to Sam in Rochester. Hi, Sam.
Hey, how are you?
Good. Go ahead.
Yeah. My mind tends to go towards like the strategy and like the play calling and that sort of thing. Cause I'm a coach like in a different sport and kind of like the last caller kind of stole my thunder there at the end, but just my mind, the whole game was, where's the creativity in the offensive play calling? And especially like you just said, like, could they have done a rollout on one of these fourth and ones instead of just continuing to try to pound the ball? And then just the overarching point of, do you understand, like, do you have a grasp of what the game plan was? Because in my mind, I thought that Joe Brady was going to go into his bag of tricks for this game specifically, but they just seemed to do the same thing that they did all year, which was, and it was almost working, right? Like, I'm nitpicking. It almost worked, just running the ball with Cook. But
I mean, they wound up, they were down 11 and then took the lead because they started running the ball well. And I thought that was a great strategy. To me, you just didn't do it early enough.
Yeah, my last question is just, did Allen miss any of these short intermediate throws that were open to him, or were they open, or was he just forcing the ball down the field?
That you're not getting the separation you need from some of these guys, especially against a team like the Chiefs that brings pressure and can cover very well from their corners and their safeties. Let's go to Tom in Rochester. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Phil. I listened to the last few callers, and I agree with all of them, but I think you sort of got – I like to approach this as priority – what's priority one, right? Priority one.
Yeah.
The way I see it is way back – I don't even remember when it was. when we lost to Kansas City, and then we went out the very next year, specifically to go get a pass rush, and we swung and failed with Von Miller, right?
Well, they did not swing and fail with him. He was unbelievable until he had his ACL injury.
Oh, okay, but fair enough. Okay, fair enough. But it hasn't, in the moments that counted, the Buffalo Bills don't have a pressure pass rush, period. And the only way you're going to beat a high-quality quarterback is with a strong pass rush. So you can go get 75 cornerbacks, but if you give him all the time in the world, it ain't happening. So my question, it just ain't happening. And that's how Brady lost his Super Bowls, and that's how Mahomes may lose this Super Bowl. But bottom line,
it's how Mahomes lost when they played when he played Brady. The Buccaneers just got to him a lot.
Okay, so here's my next question. Given that, that would be my priority one,
then
I need to somehow get an impact guy that can pressure the quarterback. My question is, who is available, A, and B, is there anything the Bills can give up that won't significantly hurt them? In other words, maybe it's, I mean, if you give up more.
Yeah, I get you. Let me answer the question. There's been rumors that there's been talk out there that Myles Garrett could be available and that Max Crosby could be available. If either of those are true, I would love for the Bills to take a swing on them. What would the Bills have to give up to get Myles Garrett? Probably multiple first-round draft picks. You can decide from there if you think that's worth it or not, but that's probably what they would be giving up.
Wow. Okay. Thanks, Al. That's a lot, but I think you almost got to maybe do it if you're going to, because without it, it's not happening.
No doubt. And that's been the Achilles heel when they played the Chiefs and when they played the Bengals here, obviously, a couple years ago as well. Let's go to Nick in Rochester. Three in a row from Rochester. Go ahead, Nick.
What's going on, Sal? How are you, bud?
Well, it's a tough day today, obviously.
Oh, yeah, obviously, man.
But here with you, man. I'm here with you. Go ahead, buddy.
No, for sure. Sorry if I sound a little shaky. I drank like 3 pots of coffee today to try to get through work. But so I'm calling in because obviously, like, everyone's kind of giving McDermott and Babbage, like, kind of the wrong end of it. I mean, our defense, it's just like last year. We had no middle linebackers. Our secondary was perfect. This year, our secondary banged up. I mean, you're bringing Elam up. You know, Benford, he got injured, so you got to go man coverage there. And then, you know, Elam is setting up 10 yards behind the line of scrimmage, and he's just getting beat. The way that the Kansas City Chiefs played yesterday is exactly how Tom Brady played during all those Super Bowl runs. Just chunk plays, 10 yards, 5 yards passing. Throw a little run in there, you know. I think we got to kind of beef up our secondary. I mean, Tyler Rapp and Benford, you know, losing them was it. That there goes our game plan. Yeah, we have Milano back, but I mean, that only goes so much. We occupied Kelsey, but Hollywood Brown and Worthy just ran all over us in the back.
Yeah, I think secondary's got to be a bit of a priority in the offseason. I do think Taylor Rapp and Cole Bishop could be a very good safety tandem going into next year. And obviously both are under contract. But I think corner is something this team has to look at. Zach, you're in the studio, right? You ready to rock and roll here for the final half hour? Sorry, I'm leaving you there. We'd have a lot of calls, though.
I've been listening to the calls. We're all good. Yeah, I slept on it. I feel all right. Football is it's a cruel mistress. We're gonna get there. We're gonna get there, Sal. We're fine.
Well, I'm glad you have that attitude because I'm pretty devastated today after all that.
Yeah.
And being on that field, I will tell you that remember I told you in 2020 we weren't there for the radio crew, right? Mm-hmm. We didn't go to the game because we weren't traveling because of COVID. And we were waiting to get into the Bills locker room after the game yesterday as the media waits around, you wait for the locker room to open. They're having the celebration on the field, and I had to decide, do I want to see any of this or not? So I did, because I had never seen it before.
Yeah.
So I walked out into the tunnel. It's very much like the Bills tunnel. I walked over to the tunnel and just watched the stage, saw the confetti, heard the noise, watched for maybe 2 minutes and said, I can't do this,
yeah,
and walked back in.
Yep. I totally get it.
It was tough.
I've seen a picture of Allen looking out at the celebration. Outside of that, I have not seen any quotes. I've kind of specifically like made sure I didn't see any of the quotes from the Chiefs, any of the videos, anything. This one is painful because it is, if you won, you're going to the Super Bowl, and it's 2 weeks of celebration. We lost, and now here we are Monday morning. It's locker cleanout day.
Yeah, and it's like, right, you're right. Rex Ryan was on ESPN yesterday, and he said he lost three championship games in a row, and I guess that would make sense. Well, he was with probably Baltimore than the Jets for his two head coaching stints where they did it. And he said, that's what he said. He said, you know, if you win, it's 2 weeks of unbelievable partying and celebrating your team and getting ready for a Super Bowl. If you lose, nobody gives you anything. You just go home.
Yeah.
You know? And you're right. And it's just, that's it. It's like, bam. It's the finality of it all. It's really, that's what it is to me. The finality of it all just ends so quickly. And that's what's, you know, hurting today for a lot of people listening here. All right, Zach's going to take you the rest of the way here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. But I will be in the locker room. Keep it here because I'm going to be sticking some microphones in for some guys who are talking starting at 11:30 here in just a little while. So hopefully we'll get to some players in the locker room. We can get you some live sound from the locker room. We will have sound at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app as well. So, Zach, I'll be talking to you in a little while from over at One Bills Drive as I make my way over to the locker room.
Sounds good. We'll hear you then.
All right. We'll talk to you, and then we'll take a timeout, and Zach and Josh will come back here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show.
I got so much pride in our guys showing up each and every day, working as hard as they can. Guys truly adopted what we talked about this year going into it. Yeah, love these guys.
That is Buffalo Bills quarterback Josh Allen in the postgame yesterday. Tough listen for Allen. Didn't speak for very long, I think under 5 minutes. You could tell in the moment, not surprising by any means, you could tell in the moment he was crushed by that loss. He himself statistically didn't have a bad game, really, by any means. 22 for 34, 237 yards, two touchdowns, 11 rushing attempts, 39 yards. But the tush-push was not going anywhere at all for the Bills. They got a few first downs from it, but it was constantly up in the air if they actually got it. None of it was convincing. Allen himself, the day started terrifyingly. His first two passing attempts of the game, both should have been picked. He settled down a little bit, and then to end the game, just not great. It's an all-time throw by him, but it's a prayer of a throw, really. It just happens to be in the right spot. Kincaid doesn't come down with it, but it was just, the game never felt like it was becoming the Bills game. It constantly felt like they were chasing. We've talked a lot about that throughout this year, of the Bills forcing teams to chase them. It felt like the Bills were chasing the Chiefs the whole night, even when they had the lead for a little while as well. There was a period there in the second half where they're up 22-21. If they score a touchdown, go up eight, and really start to lean on the Chiefs, just never materialized at all. And it's another frustrating end to a season where the only team that has not been the Chiefs that's eliminated the Bills in the playoffs is the Bengals. And that's it. They seemingly get through everyone else except the Chiefs. And I think, you know, this morning and where I'm at, and I'm not saying I'm over it, but I'm already on to looking at mock drafts and stuff like that. I looked up when Formula One winter training begins and stuff like that. And, you know, life goes on. But this was maybe the first time since I could argue, I'd say after 2020, it kind of just felt like, man, are you just ever going to be able to be better than that guy? With Mahomes, you know, but it was still so early in everyone's careers. You know, there was no reason to believe you couldn't. It just, at the time, it didn't feel great. You were blown out. You had a 9-0 lead, and after that, it was over. Yesterday, I can honestly say, felt like the first time for me, the Jordan comparisons made sense. Up to yesterday, it always felt like the Michael Jordan, Patrick Mahomes comparisons were people reaching. You know, Jordan is. A living god in sports for a lot of people. And, you know, even watching the Last Dance stuff, and y'all kind of found out there was a little bit of a screw loose for him and how he was able to just formulate any kind of slight against him to build himself up. And then, of course, he himself was just maybe one of the most athletic, physically gifted basketball players of all time. So it felt so grandiose to have that comparison for Mahomes. Last night felt like the first time for me where it was like, oh, that might be legit. He might actually just be 90s Michael Jordan in the NFL, where Everyone else is just going to be the Hakeems, the Ewings, the Carl Malones, the Charles Barkleys. Where there's, there's a ton of Hall of Fame talent all over the place. Y'all might end with no rings. And you just hope you got to a finals, a Super Bowl, once in your career. Burrow got there. And to be fair, the longer we go away from that Super Bowl, the more impressive it becomes. Not that he won it, he didn't. The fact that he got there. The fact that they did beat the Chiefs in Arrowhead in the playoffs. I know it's kind of a running joke now that we give them almost too much credit to it, but to be fair, it's becoming more and more impressive. But last night was maybe the first time that I felt like I just don't know how anyone's going to get past them. They elevate in the playoffs. Now, Kelsey's not going to play forever, and Reed probably won't coach forever. But right now, what they have with Spagnuolo and Reed and Mahomes and Kelsey still able to play at the level he is playing at, Chris Jones, and even now with George Karlaftis, what they've got going on there, it just feels like situationally there may not be a better team out there. Let's go to the locker room. Ty Johnson speaking with the media.
You know, you're one of four left. That's, what, 200 and some players still playing. It's a shitty feeling. You know, you can't really put into words. You know, things need to be cleaned up. Some plays didn't go our way. And you wish they did, but that was just the result.
Mm-hmm. Ty, have you had a chance to process this loss? Is it still kind of a state of shock?
I got in at 3 a.m., so not really, and I'm here right now. So, again, just a shitty feeling. You know, kudos to the Chiefs and everything, but, you know, we just didn't play our best ball, and some calls didn't go our way. And, so we're here. We're going to be watching. So that's it.
What do you think about your future here? I know you're a free agent, about coming back next year.
I don't know. We'll see. If everything works out, you know, that'll be the case. But I don't know. Just let everything play out how it plays out. Get some rest. Let the next few weeks go by and see what happens.
Thanks, Ty. That was Ty Johnson, guys.
Ty Johnson there with the media. Some colorful language as well. And it's understandable. It's understandable. You're one of the final four. And it you're right there. And I think there is a sense of positivity of this was the year in transition, the whole thing. They still won 13 games. They ran away with the AFCs. They blew it apart. They got a great playoff win over Baltimore. You know, they did get further than years past. I don't want to look, you know, past some of the positivity because of one loss. But, man, it is a deflating feeling up to this point. 803-0550, the number two call. Before we get our next player with the media, let's take a few calls as well. Let's go to Tim here on the line. Tim, how are we doing this morning?
Oh, great. Thanks for taking my call. Listen, I just wanted to say that, as you had said, it was a great year. We kind of forgot. Like I told my sister and my wife, just let's enjoy the run. And we did. We had a lot of excitement, better than we thought. But on that thing, I look at and I was upset when they made that first-round draft choice back then. We've been looking, you've been talking about it, and Sal and most people, about the speed. Mm-hmm. And we gave away that, not because of Kansas City, like Sal talked, but we gave that away. And and we don't have speed. We don't have it. Why in midseason did we get, I forgot his name already, but the
Mark
guy.
Cooper, yep.
Yeah, Mark, he didn't do too much, that. So, and that said, we do need that. We know it. And then I think they got to give up on Kyrie Elam. He's a bust. It is what it is. But what's sad, the Bills were right there, even with the calls that maybe were questionable. What is sad, two things. Okay, we didn't do the last thing. But it was 3rd and 9, Kansas City. Minute 30 to go, whatever it was. We stopped them. We get the ball back with minute 10 to go. We still didn't stop them. So we could have got it back again. So that's what's kind of sad. Did they give up right then? That's basically what I'm saying. But mm-hmm. I do somewhat – look, Brandon Bean has put a heck of a team together. He has. But I do think they blew it. I listened to a guy on another channel. He said, listen, what have they done? I read him in 2024. 2023, we had Kincaid and Coleman this past year. They caught three passes between two of them. These are number one draft choices.
Yep.
So something is wrong on the top. I'm not listening. Get rid of them. They got a great organization. Mm-hmm. But I think we could do better. So I'll hang up and listen to you. Thank you.
Tim, thanks for the call. And yeah, it's tough. I give Brandon Bean a lot of credit because I think he gets a lot of great steals in the later rounds. You even look at guys like Dorian Williams, a third round pick. And I mean, we were having talks not that long ago before Milano really started to come into his own of playing Williams over him. He was playing incredibly, incredibly well. Terrell Bernard is a third round pick, and you would argue he is one of the best middle linebackers in the league, but just not great up the top. Let's go now back to the locker room. Alec Anderson with the media.
I don't know, man. I wasn't out there, so I couldn't really tell you anything. I think, the guys gave their all. Everybody gave their whole effort into the entire game, and, it just fell short. It wasn't what it was, and so, yeah.
A guy that wears your emotions on your sleeves a lot. Have you processed this yet? Has it hit yet?
Yeah, it hit. It stings a lot, especially, now that I'm playing. It just stings a little bit more. Last 2 years you're on practice squad, and then last year you're inactive, and it's like, ah, darn. Like, it hurts and it sucks, but, I shed a few tears last night. I was really, really upset about it just because, you want to go out there, and as a competitor, I hate losing, and to lose on that big of a stage is just like, ah. It sucks, but it's a good chance to kind of look at it and move on from now and just kind of go into the off season and relax and come back next year really into high gear and lick our wounds and move on.
Speaking of next year, this entire offensive line is back next year. I mean, how does that make you feel knowing that this whole group, is basically coming back next year?
I think it's amazing. I think that everybody has the chemistry here, and I think that we'll benefit from it even more. Everybody staying here together and, having one whole year together and now going into a second whole year together. I think that the communication and the teamwork aspect is just going to be phenomenal.
Different feel for you going into this offseason than before now that you have a role with the offense?
Yeah, I think it's, more of a chance to kind of perfect my craft. Nothing will ever be perfect 100%, so it's always that, goal for me to try and get there. And I think that this offseason it pushes me more knowing that everybody else is coming back. It's, going to be more competition, and I kind of am looking forward to it, and I think it'll be fun. And I'm really looking forward to, this offseason and, going into my technique and really diving deep into it.
How and where will you do that? What's your offseason plan?
I think I'm going to start out by going to Hawaii and then come back here and just kind of chill in Buffalo. I'll be around here majority of the time training with Siano and everybody.
Thanks, Alec.
Yep.
That was Alec Anderson there with the media. Hawaii, great vacation spot. Cannot recommend it enough. That's another thing. We were just talking with the caller there of the Bills draft history. Alec Anderson ultimately undrafted, but in 2022, they find him, and he's become an integral part in their offense, being that sixth offensive lineman in what they do in the run game. He's been an integral part to that. But looking real quick here at the early draft picks of the McBean era, McDermott and Brandon Bean. Josh Allen picked in 2018. We know that. Then you go to 2019. Ed Oliver and Cody Ford are your first and second round pick. Oliver, look, he's got moments where he's amazing. He's also got moments where he's completely disappearing on the field. Much of this year was that. He eventually got there, but it felt like 14 games. I don't know if that's the exact number, but it felt like it took forever for him to get going. Cody Ford, a complete bust, flat out. It seemed like they kind of botched his development as well. He probably should have been a guard from day one, and it didn't really ever seem like they knew what to do with him. To 2022 or to 2020, you ultimately don't have a first-round pick because it's Stephon Diggs. Your first pick in that draft is the second round. It's AJ Epenesa, who I think is kind of just a guy. He had essentially a redshirt year to get his body right for the NFL, and since then he's been okay. He's had splash plays, but nothing crazy. Zach Moss in the third round, you moved off of him pretty quickly. He's been an okay serviceable running back in the NFL. To 21, it's Rousseau and Basham. Spencer Brown taken in the third round, that's a hit of a pick, no doubt. Even Hamlin in the sixth round has been a hit of a pick as well. But Rousseau, I think, is better than Epenesa. But if you're looking at their total sack numbers, he has four more than him in their career. And again, kind of just like a guy. He has moments where he flashes. He has moments where he is completely disappearing on the field. And we go games, it seems, where they're not getting any pressure on quarterbacks. Yesterday being a perfect example of that. And then Boogie Basham, they went back-to-back edge rushers. Basham was never a guy for this team. 4.5 sacks in his NFL career. Then to 22, Kyrie Elam, probably the biggest miss so far of the McBean era. He, I believe, is unplayable. I said it last night, and I was there. Two pass interference calls pretty quickly into his stint, and he was targeted relentlessly throughout the game. But then James Cook in the second round there, he has been a hit. I think he's a better back than maybe a lot of people thought he was going to be. And then Bernard, I mentioned, he's your starting middle linebacker for the next 5-6 years. I think he's amazing. And then Khalil Shakir as well. I think we all know how I feel about him. He's your best receiver. But you need more on the outside. You need more boundary guys. And Christian Benford in the sixth round. But I don't know where that goes. He has two concussions in back-to-back weeks. That is frightening going forward. And he looked bad after that hit. He really looked in a bad spot. So I think he's a wonderful player. I don't really know where you go from there. And then 23, we all know Kincaid, Torrance, and Dorian Williams. I like Torrance. He's starting on your offensive line literally from day one. He's yet to miss a game. Dorian Williams, one of your outside linebackers, he's been great, especially filling in for Matt Milano. Kincaid, I'm completely disappointed by him. I'm tired of acting like he's great because little numbers love him. That's where I'm at. I don't care that he's in this whatever percentile of getting open. He's not catching passes. He's not a focal point of the offense, and he still isn't. And we saw it last night, and the caller brought it up. What was it for Kincaid and Coleman? It was like 3 catches for 29 yards between the two of them, and that was it. And then you get to 24. It's Coleman, Bishop, Carter, Ray Davis. Bishop, we all think, is maybe the safety of the future. Coleman never really became a factor in the offense. Injury may have played a factor into that, and it is still early. Ray Davis, though, seems to be a good find in the fourth round. Going to take a quick time out here, 803-0550, the number two call. We may be able to fit into a few more calls here before we get you over to One Bills Live at the top of the hour. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt, hanging with you here for just a few more minutes. This is WGR. Welcome back, everyone. Zach Jones, Josh Mitt, hanging out with you here on the Northtown Automotive Extra Point Show. We're going to go back now to One Bills Drive. Sal Capaccio is there, speaking with a lot of players now on Locker Cleanout Day. Sal, we've heard from Alec Anderson and Ty Johnson so far. What are you seeing there, though, at One Bills Drive?
Yeah, there's not many players, in the locker right now, but the ones that we see, we're trying to, get a few words from. Alec Anderson was out here, as you heard. Ty Johnson was out here, as you heard. And I just spoke with Osiris Torrance at length. Really interesting answer he gave about the final fourth down play and the pressure that was brought. And he said something interesting. He said, typically, the Chiefs on film would blitz from where they weren't showing. So since they were showing the right side of the Bills' offense, they slid protection left. Does that make sense? Because they typically come from the opposite side they're showing. But in this case, they came from the side they were showing. And that's why Josh Allen got pressure on that play.
Yeah.
Interesting.
Yeah, it's been a play. I've seen a lot of people dissecting it. Ben Solak of ESPN, he's kind of taken a little bit of heat for how he's talking about it. But
yeah, I don't agree with what Ben said about Josh being able to get it to Khalil Shakir right away. His eyes go off him immediately as he's got to move.
Well, yeah, because he's got two guys right in his face flying at him.
I don't agree with that. And Osiris said it, and I agree. Okay, that's just a better play call by the Kansas City Chiefs.
Mm-hmm.
You'd love to have the better play call than them. It's a chess match. It's a football game. It's professional sports. It's a lot of people get paid a lot of money to do this for a living, and they had a better play call on that particular play. And obviously we know ball was floated up, and Dalton Kincaid had it hit his arms, unable to come down with it as well. So, there's a lot that happened on that play, but that's the way Osiris Torrance talked about it. 12 free agents scheduled, 12 unrestricted free agents for the Bills. We just heard from Ty Johnson. He's one of them. He'll settle, let it play out again. Of course, they brought him back last year. We'll see if they do that again. But I think after the year he had, he might have a little bit more of a market this year,
Ty
Johnson. So we'll see where that goes. People can find the free agents. I tweeted them out at Sal Sports on X. So if you want to check the list of names there. I believe Josh Allen is going to speak at the podium today. I don't know exactly what time. And then we'll get some more players here as well. And also, and at some point, Sean McDermott, Brandon Bean this week. And as soon as we know all that, we'll keep everybody updated. All the sound that you hear from today can be found at WGR550.com and on the Odyssey app.
Thank you, Sal. Great season as always. It's a tough ending, but we'll get through it.
You got it. Thank you.
That was Sal Capaccio there on the Western Hotline down at One Bills Drive, as it is, of course, Locker Cleanout Day today for the Buffalo Bills. It is always a sad day, no matter what team it is, no matter where you're at in your build as a franchise. It's always a frustrating day because, man, it is a long wait for the next season to begin. The only positive, at least the weather's getting better. That's going to do it for us today. One Bills Live Coming up next, 3 hours, they break down the Bills' loss to the Kansas City Chiefs in the AFC Championship game. This is WGR.